We read from the Holy Scriptures this evening, Psalm 73, a psalm that, especially in our study of this psalm in Bible study a couple of years ago, has become so special in so many ways. Psalm 73, our text this New Year's Eve, is found in the last two verses, 27 and 28. We hear the word of God in Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly, concerning oppression they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And here we have the words of our text. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this New Year's Eve is found in these concluding two verses of Psalm 73. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, tomorrow, yea, later tonight, we embark upon the uncharted seas of the year of our Lord 2020. Tonight, another year of history comes to an end. A very forcible reminder of the fact that we are but creatures of this earth, living in the midst of constant change. What are your thoughts as you stand upon the threshold of a new year? Are there things that make you anxious, perhaps even afraid, Certainly the times in which we live are not times which are conducive to comfort and good cheer. It's especially the case for the faithful church in the midst of this world. Dangers increase. The tide of wickedness grows stronger. Apostasy abounds. We see less and less tolerance for the truth of the Word of God. The signs which point to the end of the ages become clearer. It's also true for us as individuals, as we continue down our life's pathway, as we reflect back upon this past year. There have been times in which the burdens have been heavy. There have been disappointments, hardships, afflictions, sorrows. Perhaps many times we have been anxious or afraid. Perhaps that's the case right now. And we know not what we shall have to face in the year which lies ahead. The problems, the sorrows, the trials and temptations. Those things are largely hidden from our view. In Psalm 73, Asaph relates his struggles. It had been as a ride down a raging river for him. His account flows from verse to verse as a turbulent river crashing downward and rushing on with bitterness, envy, discontent, moments of darkness and despair, until Asaph is brought into the sanctuary of God, where his soul is quieted. He's brought into the light of God's gracious and wise control of all things, and so ends in peace. Peace that is also set forth so beautifully in our text, the concluding verse of this psalm. It is good for me to draw near to God. Isn't it so? Is that your testimony? All of Asaph's struggle and all of his chastening were sent of God to work those words, that conviction within him. It was not simply to bring him to a certain theological proposition that he might see, for example, that grace and blessing are not in things. He shouldn't be envious of those who were more prosperous than himself. No, but it was that he might come to this personal conviction and make this confession. He began aright, "Truly God is good to Israel." He knew that, but he couldn't see it. But all of God's ways, always and only, are directed to the good of his people. Asaph had learned this anew, even through his ways of suffering. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But it's not enough simply to know that. It must abide in our hearts. It is good for me to draw near to God. What a blessed conclusion. The fruit of Asaph's suffering and trial. Good for me to be near to him. And it is his desire to be drawn closer. It was exactly through Asaph's experience, the difficult, heart-wrenching trials through which he went, that he could be led to make this confession that he must draw near to God. So the Lord would have us as his children draw near. Draw near to him. So easy it is for us in times of difficult trial, hardship, affliction, sorrow. Lord, if thou dost send these things upon me, I don't know. I would be overwhelmed. But no, the Lord is pleased also to use such things to draw us closer to him. And that's been our experience too, is it not? When at first troubles, even calamity strike, we may well feel overwhelmed, but then by grace we are able to look back. We are able to see that through it all we were drawn closer to our God. And we learn to recognize the hand of God in all that through which we must pass in our pilgrim journey. That's our confidence as we go forward also into a new year. And it's in this light that we consider our text this evening under the theme, drawing near to God. We notice the meaning, secondly, the necessity, and finally, the fruit. Asaph is concluding this psalm with a firm resolve to be near to God. The English translation doesn't really bring it out quite as strongly as the original. The Holy Spirit really is here presenting a very solid, firm resolution, a real commitment. But as for me, nearness to God is good. And it's set forth in the form of a contrast now with others. But as for me, the contrast is obviously with verse 27, those who are far from thee, those who perish, going a-whoring from thee. But as for me, Asaph says, my desire is the very opposite. That is to be near unto thee. I will by thy grace draw near. Ultimately, only two possibilities, two positions for you, for me, for all men. We are either far from God, going a-whoring from him, or by his grace we are near to him. There's no in-between. You are either a-whoring from him, far from him, tending to become more removed, or you are nearer, desiring to be near. No doubt this was uppermost in the psalmist's mind because he understood now that his real problem in all that he had gone through was exactly that he had not been near to his God. He had not striven to be close to the Lord. Afflictions and troubles have a way of showing to us very clearly that it's often the case. Before we faced a trial, we We're not living aright. We were not living consciously, close to God. We were not walking with Him. Asaph is saying, as it were, I see now that what was really wrong with me and the cause of all my troubles was that I was not keeping myself near to God. The root problem for Asaph and ourselves is not the circumstances. Asaph thought so at the time. He thought his discontent and despair were due to his suffering, coupled with his envy of the prosperity of the wicked. But that wasn't the real problem. If I am near to God, all those circumstances really don't matter. But if I'm drifting away, if I be far from Him, if I have become complacent in my Christian life, spiritually lax, then nothing is right. What matters is to be near to God, beloved. That's the conclusion, the marvelous conclusion to which Asaph is brought. He sees in light of his previous trials that he must, by God's grace, strive always to be close to his God. We're inclined to think often that we need things to be content, to be happy, especially as we've come through another Christmas season, influenced to an extent, certainly, by the celebration, the materialism of the society in which we live. Things will make us happy. If only I had this or that. If only things were different. Asaph thought that way for a time. He spent days, weeks, perhaps months in that frame of mind. The very sight of the ungodly who had what he thought he should have upset him. He was in a wretched state exactly because he substituted being near to God for the things that couldn't really make him happy. There's one thing that matters, being near to God. And we stray from Him in complacency. Everything goes wrong. We begin to think that all things are against us. Not prosperity, not the things that the world thinks so much of, not even health really matters. The thing that matters, closeness to our God. Then, although the circumstances may remain the same, all is well. That was Asaph's conviction. That's our experience too, is it not? We have joy, peace. We can lay our heads down to sleep, knowing He is with us. His firm resolution is this: I desire to live near to God. That's the priority in life. That's what I'm going to begin each new day with. That's going to be my desire when I lay myself down at the end of day to sleep. Is that our resolve as we come to the end of this year? Is that something we merely agree with our heads? Or is that the sincere resolve of our hearts? The nearness to God. Do we think about that? How beautifully we read of that many times in Scripture, of certain saints that they walked with God. Do you? Indeed, we can be so busy. Busy with our families. Busy with our jobs, with our studies. So many things. And time flies by. How can it be the end of another year already? But by grace, we are pilgrims here, are we not? Our calling is to press ever closer to our true home, nearer to God by faith. Looking back, can you say you are drawing closer, closer unto Him? There ought to be progress in our Christian life. Scripture exhorts us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Our Christian life shouldn't grow stagnant. If we're not growing spiritually, drawing nearer to our God in faith, what's happening? What's sucking us in? We have help in answering those questions. There are certain things in our lives as God's children that help us to consider and measure those things. Think of prayer. Prayer is drawing near to God, our Father. Are we growing in prayer? Is it a regular, frequent thing in our lives from day to day? Do we take prayer seriously? Or is it something that's merely repetitious without any real thought? Sometimes God seems far from us. It can feel like our spiritual life is all but dried up. Are we wrestling in prayer? What about our devotions? Do we meditate upon the Scriptures? Do we take the time, make the time? What are we thinking about? Driving back and forth to work? Or going about our labors in the home? The Word of God? The solid truths of His salvation? Are we thinking about a Standard Bearer article we may have read? Is it any wonder that God sometimes sends adversity or affliction into the lives of His children to wake them up, chasten? Asaph experienced that. Indeed, that we might see and know that we need draw near. Do we see the necessity of that? There are two reasons, especially, that the Spirit, through Asaph, holds before us here. First of all, consider the fate of those who do not draw near to God. Considering that made him firm in his resolution to draw near. He had seen, expresses that in the context, how God was setting the wicked, even by giving them earthly prosperity, setting them in slippery places to hasten their destruction. He gives expression to that here too. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, the wicked, whose prosperity he had envied for a time, raising foolish questions within his own mind. Does it really pay to be godly? But by the grace of God, brought to the sanctuary, he saw their end, that in all those things, good gifts which God gave them, he was putting them in slippery places. Asaph would not be led into that trap again. He would not be so blind and foolish as to envy the wicked. Now he sees the end of those who go astray from God, eternal destruction. And he is given a firm resolve to draw near to God. Those that are afar from him, those who go a-whoring from God, shall perish, continuing in that wicked way. When he speaks of those that go a-whoring from God, he's comparing it to the vile, lustful sin of adultery, one who is unfaithful to his wife or unfaithful in his single status to the Lord, fornicates with another woman with the excuse that doesn't receive what he needs, the attention, the understanding. He needs another who will love and understand. It's lust, sinful lust. The gratification of one's own sinful desires. Those who go afar from God are compared to unfaithful husbands, would live out their own carnal lusts instead of seeking their all from their heavenly Father. They would live for the pleasures and treasures of this world. They do what they want to do, what they are lusting after. Other things are more important. They enter, as it were, into a deal with the devil. He will provide all that their desires would crave. Those going a-whoring from God shall perish. Makes no difference. The unbelieving world mocks such a notion. Judgment, condemnation, perishing. Judgment comes. Wrath, fire shall consume the wicked in utter destruction and eternal misery. Flee from the wrath to come, says Scripture. But as for me, it's good that I might draw near to God. Are we inclined sometimes to envy the wicked around us who prosper? Do we want to conform to their style of life? Are we closer to the world or closer to our God? Perhaps it seems like all is going well with the ungodly. If we get our view of life from media, television, we might think that the unbelieving and the ungodly are having marvelous lives, especially tonight. You should have seen the line of traffic heading into the Gun Lake Casino this evening. By faith, we know a sham, fraud, only outward. Sudden destruction awaits the ungodly. But there's a second reason Asaph is resolved to draw near to God, and that's because God is good. And he's good because he is God. We draw near to Him for no other reason than He is God. So great. Such an awesome God. Such a good God. If we only half realize what a great, what an awesome God we have, we will draw near unto Him. Isn't it so that we want to be near to those whom we love? When a young man is in love with a young woman, he's concerned about being near to her. We want to be in the presence of those whom we consider wonderful, those whom we would esteem. So also the child of God, by that principle of God's love implanted in our hearts by His Spirit, desire to be near to God, not because of all the nice things God may bestow upon us, but simply because He is God, our God, our Father, for Christ's sake. So great, so good. We seek to draw near to Him. Asaph emphasizes that to us also by his use of the name Jehovah. It means I am, or I am that I am. It holds God before us as the eternal, almighty, self-existent one, the unchanging, ever faithful covenant God. The one thing that I desire in life above everything else is to be near to my God. That was Asaph's confession, his resolve. No matter what happens around me in this world of vanity, of change, of decay, the goal of my life is to be near unto Him, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, knowing Him, His greatness, His glory, His majesty. It's good for me, says Asaph. I need this. I need it more and more. Not surprising at all that Asaph would say that it's good for him to draw nigh to God. When we call to mind what he had experienced, see in the context his misery, his grief, his despair, until by grace he was led into the sanctuary. Oh, the pain of his foolish reasoning. The pain when we sometimes lose sight of God's purposes and His promises in our lives. When for a time we walk by sight instead of by faith. Then when hardships come, we're miserable. We don't know where to turn. God drew Asaph back unto Himself. Although the ungodly around him prospered outwardly, and he was chastened, Asaph was right with God. God was with him. He was safe. Good for me to be near to God. It's very personal. It's not just a cold statement, a mechanical statement. It's good. I've learned this. God alone is good. He is the God of my salvation. Indeed, Is that our testimony as this year comes to a close? To be near to God. There's a fruit which God works within our hearts as He draws us near to Him in faith through His Word. When our soul is near to Him, as we, in true faith, focus upon Him, His Word, the fellowship of His people in the midst of the church, we are comforted. We are assured. We rejoice in the salvation which God hath wrought. We know that we are not our own, but belong unto our faithful Savior. He causes us to know that He has taken us to Himself, gives us to know His love for us. We have joy which the world of unbelief cannot give and cannot take away, to be near to God. That's security. As we go forward into the new year, it's exactly when I, as a child of God, stray, wander, that I am endangered. Then I am easily shaken. Then I get anxious. Then I'm frightened. When we would foolishly go our own way, go whoring from Him, try to walk in our own strength, how foolish. Only as by grace, through faith, we are near to Him, are we assured that all is well. We know peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Oh, the evil one rages, knowing his time is short. He would do his utmost to drive us away from our God. Do not despair. Sometimes our flesh, our weakness would bring us down. We can begin to doubt, question whether we have ever really been near unto God. But then remember that there's a truth that undergirds our nearness to God, and that, beloved, is His nearness to us. The Word of God declares that we love God because He first loved us. We draw near to Him because He has drawn nigh to us, even in the person of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. That's our security. We may lose for a time, due to our own folly, the assurance that God is near. But God is faithful. Jehovah, the unchanging God, who will not forsake His people, because He is the God who draws near to us. He draws us near to Him. And we are safely kept. Where are we going to look for security in the new year? Where will you find that which will never fail? Certainly, don't look towards yourself. There is no real security in our bank accounts or our insurance policies or our investments. not even in the measure of health and strength that we might be enjoying at the present time. All these are things that our Heavenly Father has given, things we are to use rightly, wisely, but security is in Jehovah God. Draw near to Him. Drawing near to Him, we are secure. Then although the temptations of the evil one be set loose around us, although the trials of this life may come over our heads, nothing can harm. We are safely kept. Being drawn near to God by His grace produced a beautiful confession in the psalmist. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I've put my trust in the Lord God. Trust. I've been given to lean upon God, to cast my burdens upon Him. The weight of my life with all of its burdens and cares is upon Him. As a result of being drawn near to God through the grace which is ours in Christ, through the working of His Spirit, I will trust in the Lord God. I commit my way unto Him. The Lord will bring to pass all things in my life. He will direct my way. When I try to walk in my own strength, when I try of myself to resolve my problems apart from Him, when I try to carry the load myself, I falter, I fall. But I know that He shall keep me. He shall lead me even by my right hand unto glory. My trust is in Him. And in addition, the fruit is this, that I may declare all thy works. That too is beautiful. And you as a child of God are drawn near to Him. You cannot help but speak. We're partakers of the anointing of Christ, prophets in Christ. We bubble over with praise to Him. We can't keep quiet. Our life will reflect that covenant fellowship, that nearness to our God. We will declare His works in Christ, His constant faithfulness, His abiding love, the fact that He is good, has been good, will always be good unto us in all His ways. In spite of our weakness, in spite that we have sometimes wandered, by grace we have been safely kept, preserved through it all. Really, the beautiful fruit of being drawn near to God is that when we trust Him, speaking of His works, He receives the praise, the glory. That's the purpose of it all, of course. All things are for God's glory. So are we, called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we might show forth His praises. Our sufferings in this present time serve a purpose too. Necessary, because every tear, every burden sent to us as His children is sent for this reason, that also in these things God might receive the glory. We are brought to a deeper trust that we might declare His works, that He might be glorified. Truly, God is good. And therefore, it is good to draw near to God. Is that your confession? Is that the direction of your life? At the end of this year, and as you are about to begin the new year, God forbid that we wander, that we stray, that we go a-whoring from Him, growing complacent, spiritually lax, to the extent that we have. Let us repent, calling upon God in true sorrow of heart, for to live apart from God is death. Nothing can satisfy. How, beloved, are we kept near to God? It is, in a word, grace. It was performed at the cross. God reconciled us to Himself even by the death of His only begotten Son. And through the working of His Spirit, He irresistibly draws us to Himself. Ultimately, it is certain that God's children shall be nigh unto Him. God sees to it. But He uses means to keep us close to Him. The means of grace, His Word, the faithful preaching thereof. In His mercy, He has given us visible signs and seals in the sacraments. He uses the loving discipline and oversight of the church. With Asaph, let us faithfully go up to worship, to the sanctuary. Let us too have that desire to be brought to understanding. Let us be zealous to meditate upon the Word of God, seeking Him in prayer. May God grant that we be led more and more in that firm resolve. Good, good to be near to God. Most blessed. Asaph, in his folly, in his weakness, had wandered for a time, attempting to solve things on his own strength, his own wisdom. He fell into all kinds of foolish questions and doubts. But sovereign grace, the mercy of God, drew him back. Now by grace, Asaph was resolved to seek God with all his heart. Beloved, may we know Him even more and more. May we dwell with Him, seeking nothing in the remainder of our days but to be near unto our God, for near Him all is well. May that be our resolve in the year that lies before us. My Savior, 'neath Thy sheltering wing, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to Thy side I press, for near Thee all is well. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Write it upon our hearts by Thy Spirit. As this year soon draws to an end, and as we begin a new year of history, that we might be near unto Thee. So draw us by Thy grace and by Thy Spirit, working within us to will and to do of Thy good pleasure. Pardon the sins that cleave unto us, how easily we wander and stray. We thank Thee for our Savior, our faithful shepherd. May Thy name receive the grace, praise, the honor, the glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.